This world system has produced war and displacement for others. And in Scotland, well, we may have not been slaves in Egypt, but we worship the God of Abraham and we share our lot with the people God loves. And God calls us to love our neighbors, doesn't he? He does. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 10, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third gospel of the New Testament, right? So it's the back quarter of any Bible. And in Luke chapter 10, I think we'll start in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. So starting at 25, it says, this lawyer stood up and he wanted to put Jesus to the test. And he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the man said, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor? How many refugees do I got to let in?" Define neighbor. Is that Tommy the drunk who's got himself in a bad way, who needs indoors because he got kicked out of where he was staying? Is that those people from over the hill? I don't even know where they came from. Is that these wandering tinkers coming through town, jingle, jingle, and just, "Oh, can you give us a place to stay? Who is my neighbor?" Well, Jesus answered, right? And he answered with a story because he's an amazing teacher. He knows exactly how to get to us. He said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers." Jerusalem to Jericho is a bad place. Okay, so what part of Glasgow don't you go walking through? You shouldn't ought to have been there. Look what happened to you. Here's why, right? Jericho Road. Fell in among robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and they left him half dead. And now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, well, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite when he came down. So that's a theologian, right? You got a priest who's your minister. You got a Levite, he's a theologian up at the university, right? He came down and saw him and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, a half-breed, no good, people from a foreign land that conquered Israel once and dumped leftovers in the land. Those people, those racial half-breeds, that's what it means when they say Samaritan. I don't think that about Samaritans. This is the attitude of people who hear the word Samaritan. It was like what kids would say who were insulting each other. You know, Samaritan, right? That's the idea. So Jesus said, there is a Samaritan, and he journeyed, came to where he was and saw him, and he had compassion. Why? Because he was a traveler, because he knew what it was like to be stuck, and here's a guy beat up and bloodied. So he felt it and he cared. And he went to him and he bound up his wounds and he poured oil, wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, which is a day's wage each, right? And gave them to the innkeeper. He took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back." There's Jesus' story. And then he said, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." So what do we take from a lesson of Jesus Christ teaching? In light of the refugee crisis, in light of the words from Exodus that say, here's how to treat travelers, widows, orphans in your midst. What will we do? We worship the God of Abraham, and we share our lot with the people God loves, and God calls us to love our neighbors by his definition of neighbors. Yeah? So over the last weeks, we've heard this memory verse. Do you remember a month ago? He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That was a month ago. It sounded good when we said it. It counts now. We heard last week that God calls us to be set apart and visibly faithful as a witness to His realness, as a herald of His grace and mercy, right? So when people see you, do they see God at work? And when people see the church in Alva, do they say, those people do what Jesus would do? Those people are an outpost of the kingdom of God in this world. Although our kingdom works this way, God's kingdom works that way. And those people, they're founded on the rock. They've heard the words of Jesus and they're putting it into practice. It's different in that place. I get from folks who are our neighbors that they do think that about this place. When the community council thinks about this place as they're the homeless people who we welcome into the space in the back on a Monday evening. They say, man, they take care of us. You know, you guys are the only ones that put out coffee when we come. You know? That's such a small thing. And now today, consider that what that might mean as we apply the ideas locally and internationally with regard to the refugee crisis. And it's resulted from civil war that's happening in Syria. I don't have anything to do with that, I don't think. At the last youth Bible study on Thursday night, we discussed the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember that? We discussed the feeding of the 5,000. And one of the takeaways was this: in order for everyone to have received from Jesus that day, one boy had to give up his lunch. We're all about the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, but you know, it starts with this line that said, this boy here has, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that? I'm sorry, I said fishes, didn't I? I always do, because you say it to kids, don't you? And then, but it's not good grammar. But that person had to give up their lunch in order for everyone to have received from Jesus that day. 5 loaves and 2 fish? Not enough. 5 loaves and 2 fish? It's foolish to give that away to feed between 10 and 15,000 people. It was 5,000 men. As guys came with their gals, they came with their families to hear Jesus speak. And they all got fed because of that boy. In the midweek Bible study that meets, it happens here fortnightly on Wednesdays, we heard Jesus say, "None of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." Hard teaching. Jesus says, your neighbor is the person that's in need. The little boy knows enough to say, I'll put the little bit I got into God's hands and it'll get done. A little kid, I wonder if they took the lunch off the kid. Did he have a choice? The Bible doesn't say. They said, here's a kid, he's got a lunch. Could you imagine if you were the kid? Here, we got a lunch, Jesus. I don't know if the kid was like, oh, my mom's going to kill me. You know? We don't know. But but it did get, and it was applied, and it did reach, and there was enough. And then Jesus says, if you're holding on to your stuff, if you're holding on to your stuff, instead of following me, it breaks down, it's not going to work. And if you're embarrassed of me, you want me to throw my arm around you when we stand before God and say, let him in. But why won't you act like me? Why won't you be like me? Please, when I stand next to you in front of my Father, I don't want you to be like this disheveled, ruffled person who never listened to me and being like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus, me and Jesus, we go way back. Oh, yeah. Put in a word for me with the big man, will you, Jesus? You know, that's the way people talk to me in this town who don't come to church. Oh, yeah, well, make sure you say a prayer for me when you're up there, because I ain't ever going to pray for me. I don't got nobody in my life that prays for me. You're the minister. You do the praying. They're lost. They're dreadfully lost and dying and starving. They don't know where water comes from, spiritually speaking. And I say, I will pray. And then I say, you know, my prayers don't count more than yours. Why don't you come on in? We'll pray together. And they go, ha, that ain't never going to happen. And I just have to smile, because if I turn into John the Baptist and I'm like, oh, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, you know, I mean, it just never works. I've never tried it. Maybe it does work. if you hear a story about me and Sterling, I'll probably do it far away first. Yeah, go further. Yeah. Coincidentally, we had a meeting last week, Tuesday night, and with people who want to put on a great big outreach either in St. George Square or Princess Street Gardens, setting up skateboard ramps and bringing out musicians and reaching somewhere where a lot of people walk by to stop and pay attention and to hear the gospel. And for anybody who comes by to get connected with people from churches roundabout where you're from. Oh, we know people in that town too. Over there, Sterling, Alva's near Sterling, isn't it? Check out Alva, you know? So that's quite interesting to me. Midweek Bible study said, you know, stop holding so tightly to all your stuff. It's my stuff. Everything you got, I gave you. Okay, Jesus. But please don't make me give away everything till I'm homeless too. Please don't make me be like, you know, like the poor person in front of God TV writing checks to every next show that says, if you send me a check, I'll send you a prayer cloth, right? You don't want to be that person. I don't want to fall for a charlatan who says, oh, all God needs is for you to sow all your savings into his kingdom. You know. I had mistrust of the church for so long when it came to money, because I was like, yeah, all right, I knew you were coming. I knew you were coming from my wallet, you know. But Jesus is coming. In fact, Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand and the kingdom of God is within you. And you are the kingdom of God unfolding in the world when you follow me, your king, as I lead you. And I've been leading you ever since the olden days. And they came out of Egypt and I told them, now don't abuse the foreigner, traveler, widows and children. Care for the people who need cared for. Be my people. And Jesus comes in his day and he goes, you people who are supposed to be my father's people are not being my people. Feed them. I can't feed them. I don't have enough. What have you got? I've got this. Give it to me. That's enough. 5,000 plus 10,000, 15,000. Did you learn the lesson of the loaves and fish? Not only did everyone get fed, but 12 baskets full afterwards. Does that mean give to God so I can get? That's probably bad motivation. If greed is your motivation, I don't think it works. But any fool would say, that's a good investment. I think, let me see, squander my wealth so that all of a sudden it disappears off the top of the stock market, or invest it in my community to build solid relationships and have peaceful surroundings to the farm on the right and on the left. We'll take care of each other. What makes sense? What makes better sense? And here's the scripture telling you, take care of those people when they come. Let them in. Make them part of your community. Teach them what you know and care for them the way you are. And then nobody turns to attack people who have loved them well. People may well come to attack. I got kids in the SU group who tell me their parents believe that the refugees are terrorists undercover, and each one of them has a small bomb that they're going to explode all in the same day, and that's why you shouldn't let the refugees in. It sounds like a strategy. It sounds like a feasible strategy. If I was a baddies, I'd be like, hey, Frank, tell you what, I'll stay here. You turn around and run, and I'll fire over your shoulder, and you go, I'm scared, let me in, and then you'll be in, and we'll have invaded. That makes good sense. But you get that person. I don't know. I mean, the experience in the United States has been since 9/11, only two people of the 70,000 refugees they let in every year since 2011 have ever turned and hurt somebody. If the statistics matter to you. I hope that helps. I don't know. But I figure you bring someone into your community and they go, oh, what's it going to be like here? I don't know what it's going to be like here. How are they going to treat us? And love them. And love them and give and bring soup. And how are you? I got a pair of shoes. You need a pair of shoes? We have a couple of pairs of shoes. Why don't you take one of them and care for people and tell me how that person's. That person's going to say, I was told you were different. That person's going to say, they told us that you were bad and you were going to turn our daughters into prostitutes and that our children would go and they would just be hooked on drugs in no time. They warned us about you and you are completely different. And doesn't that just make sense? Now, all God said is take care of people, give to people who need. He didn't say, oh, and here's the strategy and here's the benefits and this is why it will work. He just said, follow me, it works. Be nice to each other. Do the right thing. And remember who's in charge. I'm God. Walk humbly with your God. And that's what all of this does. And so whatever our opinion about how much we have to share, the commandment of God in Exodus, the testimony of Ezekiel, illustrates that we are required to share God's blessing with the weak and defenseless. Can you file that away? We are required to share God's blessing with the weak and defenseless. And from the blessing of God on the selfless act of just a single boy who shared his lunch, right? And that's in John chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, Mark chapter 6, Matthew chapter 15. One of the few stories that's in all four Gospels. We learn that God is able to use our willingness to share beyond our means. And then Luke chapter 14, verse 33, tells disciples to give up our own possessions. We have to apply this. You can't just hear the words of Jesus and not put them into practice. That's the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. I heard some stuff at church today. What are you going to do? He said some stuff. I don't know what the minister said. You know? What ideas will come from this teaching at the church meeting tomorrow night? Can't wait to hear it. What is the church's response to the refugee crisis? What actually will we do as a church? I would love to have a conversation about it. I don't know how much we have and what we can muster, and we get to decide because we are the church. Right? Nobody at the high command has decided what Alva is going to do. Alva is the church that says, what do we do? How are we going to be church? And that's why we have a church meeting, is to get together. And I think as much church meeting happens at the tea and coffee after this sermon as does in that meeting. So if you come to the tea and coffee and you think, I like that, but meeting, church meeting, oh, I've been to a church meeting before. Well, come to that and make it different and bring tea and coffee. I think it would make a better meeting. Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole sermon. I don't have more. I don't have another page. And I'm going to just say, Lord, we want to share your blessing with the weak and defenseless. We want to follow the example of a boy who shared what he had. And we want to be freed from our white-knuckled grip on stuff we probably can't keep anyway. If everything dried up in the economy and our paycheck stopped coming, we would be in need. So for as long as it keeps rolling, will you help us to be people who use what we have to make friends on earth, that we would use unrighteous mammon to build relationship with one another, to have a society that will survive economic upheaval. And thank you for your word. Thank you for Exodus. Thank you for Ezekiel. Thank you for the messages from the gospel. Thank you for these psalms that we've heard this morning. You are a refuge, Lord. And we pray that we could stand for you in the world. And the Holy Spirit, fill us and give us wisdom about how to do this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.